The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Yud. Today's daf is being studied. Le'adu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihanu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuat Shelema Miki ben Jamie. Elna Refanado. Refuat HaNefesh. Refuat HaGuf. Refuat Toker. Manabo Vechen Yirason. When Omar Amen, we begin today's daf on Tet Amud Bet. We are on the bottom line. Ahushtara Behava Ketiv Be Shit Shenin Yetirta. There was a Gemara that we learned on today's daf that the Shtarot, when they wrote Gittin, when they wrote Shtarechov, so they used to date the Shtarot. They dated it according to the Malchut Yavan, to the kingdom of the Greeks, which began 380 years before the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. So if you see a star, whatever the number is, you know that that's from already Malchut Yavan. So now they found the star, and the star was 6 years ahead of time, which means, let's say, Malchut Yavan was 500 years ago, the star was dated to the year 506. Now that's called in halakha a star me'uchar. I need to explain to you what that means so you can appreciate what does it mean, star me'uchar. When I come with a star, so I lend somebody money. So they put a date. Why do they put a date in a star? What's the purpose to know the date? Because if this person now, the love, the one that's borrowing the money, sells property, I have a right to go and put a lien on those properties from the date that's on the shtar. Anything that he sells before the date on the shtar, I cannot go after. But anything that he sold, means I come to him and say, where's my money? I don't have it. So now I go to the likuhot. I say, you bought a property when I had a shtar already outstanding. I could take that, put a loan, lien on it, put a collateral on it, and I could take it even. However, sometimes the Malve would write a shtar, which is called shtar me'uhar. He would lend them the money in Nisan. But he would date it to Shri, 6 months later, which is to his disadvantage. Because now, any fields that the Malve sells between Nisan and Tishri, the Malve cannot collect, because he post-dated it for Tishri, so only from Tishri on. So this is a shtar me'uchar. Shtar me'uchar is kasher, because the malve is a nice guy. He's letting the guy have a little more flexibility with his properties. Anyway, they found a shtar that was written based on the custom of Malchut Yavan, but it was written 6 years more. Meaning, if you did the calculation, it's only 500 years from Malchut Yavan, but the shtar is written 506. So this was a star meuchar seemingly. So the Gemara says sabura banan kameder av lememar. So the rabbis thought to say, "Hai star meucharu." This is a post-dated star, which means the guy was very generous. He gave him 6 years. Sell whatever you want in 6 years. I won't go after those properties. Once the 6 years comes, then already the star with the kohot takes a hold. So the Gemara said ne'akbe. Let's hold on to the shtar until it matures, until it comes to its time. So the guy won't be able to take collection from the likuchot that was sold. That's what the rabbi said. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav says, no, you're making a mistake. Hai safra dafkana katve. This sofer, I know this sofer. And when he writes it bedafkanut, meaning he's very, very particular. And if he wrote it like this, it's not a shtar meuchar. Must be, it's a shtar that's dated on time. But it's 6 years ahead. So he says, V'hanach shit shenin demalchu be'ilam. De'anan lo hajvina lehu. Hu ka'ashiv lehu. Bizmane katbe. We learned on today's daf. Really, Malchut Yavan started 386 years. Before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But those first 6 years, their Malchut was not yet nitpashet. It was not yet manifest all over. It was only in Eilam. So therefore, while Malchut Yavam began 386 years before the destruction, we only date our Shtarot 380 years, which is 6 years later, because that's when Malchut Yavam really became strong. This Sofer, seemingly, he wrote his Shtarot from when Malchut Yavam became king over Elam. Therefore, it wasn't a post-dated Shtar. It was really written 300 and, including the extra 6 years, from when Yavan became in power. Therefore, the Shtar is a properly dated Shtar, and therefore we thought originally, we saw 6 extra years. So, oh, it must be, it's post-dated. It has 6 more years until it till the Shtar is due. And no, really the Shtar was written correctly. Just this guy, this Sofer, is counting from an earlier, he's counting from 6 years early for Shtarot, from when the beginning of Malchut Yavan. The Tanya Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shesh Shani Malchu Be'ilam. The first 6 years, Malchut Yavan was just in Elam. Then their kingdom spread across the whole world. So we write our Shtarot from 380 years before the destruction. This Sofer wrote the Shtarot from 386 years before the destruction. That makes up for the extra 6 years. And that's why he said it's a really legitimate Shtar. It's not Meuchad. It was indeed written on time. Now he's saying you can collect the money now. Now the Gemara is saying it was written on time. Therefore you can collect anything. Anything that he sells immediately you can go after. It's not a Shtar Meuchad, the Gemara is saying. His calculation was from 6 years before. Counted from 6 years earlier. Which means instead of 380 years, he was counting from 386 years before the Hurban. Matkif la Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Now Ravacha Bar Yaakov has a question. Who told you at all that when we date our Shtarot that we calculated according to Malchut Yavan? Dilma Yitziat Misrayim Maninan. Maybe we date the Shtarot from Yitziat Misrayim. Now this is an interesting fact. Yitziat Malchut Yavan, we said, is 380 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. When was Yitziat Misrayim? Yitziat Misrayim, interestingly enough, was 1,380 years before Churban Bayit. So it's exactly 1,000 years before Malchut Yavan. So Malchut Yavan is 380 before the destruction. Yitziat Misrayim is 1380 before the destruction. So the Gemara is asking, who told you that you're telling me that when you saw the Shtar, so right away you told me he must be dating it according to Malchut Yavan. And this guy is dating it from 386. Because you don't want to make it a Shtar Meuhar. Because it's a dohak to say a Shtar Meuhar. Because why would the Malveh forgive all those years for him to be able to collect? So therefore he wanted to say it's Yavan. And therefore we must be counting the 6 years prior. Who told you? Maybe he's counting from Misrayim. Which means, when they count from Misrayim, it's really 1,380 years from the destruction. But they don't have to write 1,000. In the Shtar, they just wrote, let's say, 500. Let's say they wrote 500. So the 500 would be like 1,500 years from Yitziat Misrayim. The one, because whatever you're going to write in the hundreds and the single digits is the same number of Yavan, which is the same number of Misrayim. Leave the thousands digits. So it's 380. It's 380, it's the same number from your 7, it's just 1,000 is missing. But you don't have to write 1,000, because everybody knows. So therefore, maybe they dated the Shtar according to Yitziat Misrayim, and therefore when you saw, let's say, for argument's sake, let's say it's at 500, oh, and it was 6 years prior, based on the Yitziat Misrayim calculation, therefore the Shtar must have been Miuhar. Who told you it's a Yavan calculation and the calculation is good because he counted 6 years earlier based on Ilam? Maybe it was the Yitziat Misrayim calculation and therefore the Shtar is definitely Miuhar. So Gemara says, Veshabke le'alfa kama, leave the 1,000, because you don't have to write the 1,000, because everybody knew that. It's the 1,000 is, it's obvious. Venakte alfa batra, they wrote the second digits. V'hai mi'ucharu. And therefore the Shtar is definitely mi'uchar. Amar Rav Nachman, says, please, we know for a fact, Bagola in monin ela le'malkei yevanim bilvad. Finished. We know for a fact, we never calculated according to Yisiyat Mitzrayim. In the Gola, we always calculated our Shtarot according to Malchut Yavan. Now, the Gemara says, so this is what Rav Nachman said. So Rav Aha Savar Dehuye Kamadchele. He thought that everyone just pushing him away. We calculate according to Yavan. Who says? Maybe we go according to Egypt. So he says, Nafak, he went out. Dak ve'ashkach, he investigated and he found the Braita. Titania Bagona in Monin Elan and Malchei Yevanim Belvad. He found the Braita that clearly says that the Shtarot are written according to Malchut Yevan. Therefore, go back to our story. Therefore, the Shtar was written. It was 6 years early, the Shtar. Actually, it was 6 years later. So they calculated that. Oh, must be the Shtar Miuchai. I said, no, he calculates some Yavan from the extra 6 years, the 6 years prior, because that's when they took over Aram. So instead of making some mention in 80 years prior, he did 386 prior, and therefore it works out according to the Hashbon, and everything's good. And we cannot say that it was a Yisiyat Mitzrayim calculation, because we don't count Ashtarot according to Yisiyat Mitzrayim. Comes the top Tosafot. Tosafot over here is a Hiddush. Tosfot says, from here we learn halakha. Today, we document our shtarot libriyat ha'olam, according to the creation of the world, from when the world was created, 5,770, for example. Tosfot learns that from this Gemara you see, what if you would have a shtar that just wrote 770? It left the 5,000 out, and it did not write Libriyat Ta'olam. You see from this Gemara that the Shtar is Kashir. Why? Because this Shtar over here was written 500 years. It's a year 500. We didn't know if it was Yavan years or Yisiyat Mitzrayim years. So obviously they didn't write Yavan or Yisiyat Mitzrayim. So you see, you don't have to write from where you're counting from. So therefore, if you would write a Shtar, Bizman HaZeh, without writing the Briyat Ta'olam, it would be Kashir. Furthermore, you see from the Gemara, that if you were calculating according to Yisiyat Mitzrayim, you didn't have to write the millennium, you didn't have to write the 1,000 year. You could just write the second part, and everybody knows it's the 1,000. Everybody knows it's the 1,000 part. So therefore, Suwadin today, if you would write a Shtar at 770, everybody knows it's 5,000. You don't have to write 5,000. Everybody knows we're in the 6th millennium. So then what those four learns of this Gemara, that if you left out either the 6th millennium in the start, like I'm saying today, or you left out the Briyat Ta'olam, because she Tosfot says in the end, the Rabbeinu Tam Asa Ma'aseh Shekatav Shtar Bekach. He wrote a Shtar like that without writing the Briyat Ta'olam, Vechen Lefaret V'Dileg Alafim. And he skipped the Alafim V'Gam the Briyat Ta'olam. Okay, Amar Ravina Matnitina Bidaika. I'm going to prove to you that we date our Shtarot according to Yavan and not Mitzrayim. Haditnan. Be'ahad b'Nisan, this is Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Be'ahad b'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah le'melachim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the new year for kings. Ve'regalim, and for the holidays. Ve'amnina, what does it mean for the kings? Rosh Hashanah for the kings, what do you mean? What do we have to know what's Rosh Hashanah for the kings for? What's Nafkamina? Amar Chazdal Lishtarot. If I'm dating my shtar, I have to, every time in Nisan passes, it's another year. Vietnam, we have another Mishnah. Be'had Petishri Rosh Hashanah Lishanim. Rosh Hashanah Tishri, Rosh Chodesh Tishri, is what? Is for the years. V'lishimitin, and for the Shemitah. The Shemitah changes in Tishri. V'amlin and the Shanim, what do you mean for the years? L'may ilcheta v'amar efchazda l'shtarot. That means, well, if you're dating your shtarot, you go after Tishri. Make up your mind, you just call me, you go according to Nisan. Now you tell me you go according to Tishri. Kasha shtarot ahadadi. We have a shtira from the shtarot. U'mishanina to give our answers. Kan l'malchei Yisrael, kan l'malchei ovdei kochavim. L'malchei ovdei kochavim mitishri maninan. Lemalchei Yisrael menisan maninan. Which means, he has two calculations. When you're writing a shtar for Yisrael, we go after Nisan. That's the new year for kings. When you're writing a shtar by the Goyim, that's the way they go after Tishri. So we're making a chiluk between shtarei Yisrael and shtarei of the Kochavim. The Gemara says, Ve'anam, hashtam mit Tishri maninan. But today, the custom is, we don't have any Jewish kings anymore. There's no more Jewish kings. Now the custom is we date our shtarot from Tishri, like the from the Gentile kings. But what do you mean? If you're telling me that you go after Yisiat Mislayim, Minisan Ba'inan the Mimneh, you should still count from Nisan. Why did we go to Tishri? If the calculation goes from Yisiat Mislayim, we still have Yisiat Mislayim. Even though there might not be Jewish kings, there is still a concept of Yisiat Mislayim. So from the fact that you see today that we count from Tishri, the only reason why we would count from Tishri is because that's when the Greeks did it. And therefore, when did the Greeks do it? The Greeks did it 380 years. They started to date their shtarot from before the destruction of the temple, 380 years. That's when they started to date the shtarot. And therefore, from the fact that we see that we moved to Tishri, must be that we're doing it according to the Greeks, to the Yevanim, and not Mislayim. Because, again, the Mishnah said, sometimes you go Nisan, sometimes you go Tishri. Make up your mind. Ah, Goyim, Tishri. Yehudim, Nisan. But today, that we don't have any Jewish kings, we go to Tishri. Why do you have to go to Tishri? Keep Nisan. If you're going after Yisiat Mislayim, you should keep Nisan. Ela must be that we never go according to Yisiat Mislayim. Ela, we go back to the Greeks that started their shtarot in the year 380. The 380 years before the destruction, and that's what we date our shtarot. Ela lav shma mina, lemalchei yevanim maninan shma mina. Ela, you see from here that we date the shtarot from the Malchut Yavan. Look at the Rashi, the Anan. Before that, the Rashi before they get wide. The Anan Hashtam mit Tishri Maninan. Kol Tishri mechudashim shata. By us, the year begins. The year changes for the kings, for the shtarot and Tishri. Alma vaday min yana didan the Malchei Umot. For sure, that means our calculation goes follows the Goyim. ואין לך מלכות באומות מת מתחילת 330 שנה קודם אלא מלכות יוון. And the only מלכות prior to the temple that wrote שטרות according to that calculation was יוון. דיסלקה דתך דהיידי מלין 380 שנה קודם חורבן דדעתין יציאת מצרים. If you're going to say that we went according to יציאת מצרים, we should have counted from ניסן, מניסן ברור לממנה. And the fact that you see that today we count from Tishri, it must be we're following the Greeks, the Yevanim, Achut Yavan, and therefore they were the only ones that were writing Shtarot from 380 years before the temple. Therefore, it's either Yisiat Mislayim or the Greeks. So the fact that we do Tishri must be we're following the Greeks, and therefore we go from Tishri. Now, Stam, how do we know? I didn't give you this calculation, but it's kedai to calculate it for a second. How do we know that the Beit HaMikdash was 1380 years before the destruction of the temple? Okay, this is a calculation. How do we know that Yisiat Mitzrayim was 1380 years before the Beit HaMikdash, destruction of the second temple? So we have to make the Hashbonot. You ready for the Hashbonot? Okay, from Yisiat Mitzrayim to the first Beit HaMikdash was 480 years. Okay, you want to keep the math? Keep the math. 480. The first Beit HaMikdash lasted 410 years. So that's 480 plus 410. Then there was a 70-year difference between the Galut, Bavel, when it was destroyed. Then you had the second Beit HaMikdash, was built for 420 years. What's the total? Very good. That's the number we're looking for. 1,380. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. That's how you get the Hashbon, 1380. Anyway, we conclude this Gemara that what? That we conclude that we calculate our shtarot based on Malchut Yavan. Comes the Gemara, continue. Now the Gemara tells some halachot back to the Abu Dazara. Gemara says, "V'yom Ginusia shel Malchehem." There's a certain day that's called Yom Ginusia. On that day of Yom Ginusia, 3 days before, you're not allowed to transact with the Goyim. Because that's the day that they give kavod to Abu Dazara. What is Yom Ginusia? We don't know what it is. Mai veYom Ginusia shel Malchehem. What is this Yom Ginusia? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Shema'amidim bo Ovdei Kochavim et Malkam. That's the day that the kings are inaugurated. That's called Yom Ginusia. It's a day that they've been korbanot to Abu Dazara. It's a big day of the idolatry. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'atanya, Yom Ginusia ve'yom shema'amidim bo et malkam. We have a brayta that says there's 2 days. There's Ginusia and the day that they inaugurate their kings, which is Mashma Ginusia is something else. La kasha, Hadide Hadibre. The first case, Yom Genusya, is talking about when they were establishing the father, and then Malcheim is the child, which is the kings would have succession. So therefore you would have the father was inaugurated, they would make a boy, and then they would inaugurate the son, so that was called Malcheim. So there's 2 days. Both Genusya is the father, and Malcheim is the son. What are you talking about? Umi Mukme Malka Bar Malka, the Goyim establish a succession in kingdom? It's not Malchut Ben David over here where there's a succession. They didn't put their sons automatically as king. How do we know that? Tani Rav Yosef, Hine Katon Netaticha Begoyim. God says to the Goyim, you're Katon Netaticha. You're going to be small by the Goyim. That's why the Romans. Katon Netaticha. Why are they called Katon? She'en Moshivim Melech Ben Melech. That you're not going to have succession in your kings. Bazui Ata Meod. Not only that, but the Romans, the Pasuk says they're bezuin, they're degraded, they're low. She'en lahem lo ktav velo lashon. That they don't have their own writing and they don't have their own language. Now this needs to be understood. What does it mean they don't have their own writing and they don't have their own language? But before we go to that, let's just continue the Shekla v'Tariya of the Gemara. Ela mai Yom Genusya. So what does Yom Genusya mean? We're back to the question. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, Yom Haleda. It means the day that the king was born. So on the birthday of the king, he's going to make a big party, they do Avodah Zarah, therefore you cannot transact with them 3 days before, because they're going to use your animal for the Avodah Zarah of the party. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Vatanya, Yom Genusya ve'Yom Haleda. We have another brayta that clearly says, there's the day of Genusya and the birthday. So mashmah that Genusya is something else. So Gemara says, Lakasha Adide Adibre. Oh, so one is the father's birthday and one is the son's birthday. Vatanya can't be. Because we have at the end of that brayta, that's the way it was for us. The end of the brayta says, Yom Genusya Shelo, Yom Genusya Shel Beno, Yom Haleda Shelo, V'Yom Haleda Shel Beno. So clearly birthdays are covered in the brayta. It says his birthday and his son's birthday. Then it says, his Genusya and his son's Genusya. So what is Genusya again? You can't tell me birthdays, because birthdays already is written. What is Genusya? Ela, Mayom Genusya, Yom Shema'amidim Bom Malkam. Back to the original answer. It's the day of the inauguration. Although we have a question. I thought you don't inaugurate their kids. Their children don't become kings. Velakasha, Hadide, Hadibre. One's the father, one's the son. But you told me that they don't establish a king, the son of a king, they don't establish the kids. Through permission, they do. Which means if the Caesar wants to put his kid as Caesar to follow him, as the king, he asks the governors and the different senate to get permission, and if they grant the permission, they grant him the right as well. Kegon Asviros bar Antoninos. Demalach. Like we see the son of Antoninos. Antoninos was Marcus Aurelius, where his son also became the king. How? And now what? He got permission from the Senate. So therefore, when it says Yom Genusya, Yom Genusya means the day that the king is inaugurated. And Yom Shemolichim Bo is Beno. That's his son. In the case where he got permission from the Senate. Now we have to go back to this point for a second. What does it mean the Romans did not have their own language? Gemara said they were Bazui, the Romans. She'en ba'em k'tav me'atzman ve'lashon me'atzman. So look at the second to support. Perusha contra, as Rashi explained, shel nilkat lishonam milashon umot, that they rob their language from other languages. See, they don't have their own unique lashon. They took it dialect from this language and from that language, and they created Roman. V'tema, that Tosfot says, I don't understand. Dea bnei Yishmael ubnei Ketora ve'Amon u'Moav, all the nations, Amon, Moav, Yishmael. That came after the generation of Palaga, where all the languages were mixed up. Where did they get their language from? Must be they got it from one of the previous ones that were forgotten. They took it. So what are you telling me that the Romans are bazui because they don't have an authentic language? After Dora Palaga, who has an authentic language? all the languages of the 70 nations of the world were forgotten, and whoever descended after that just took one of the languages that were out there. So Rome is no different than anybody else. So Tosfot says, no, it's a different explanation. It's not that they didn't have a language. Their language was no different than anybody else. Lachem pirishli ktab lashon hashuv shemilachim mishtamshim bo. A royal language. That's what we're talking about over here. Ke'en chokhmat yevanit. Which means, it seemed that what? There were certain royal languages that each country had. Like this one says, Vikrati le-Babel, it says in the Pasuk, and God's going to destroy from Babel, Shem Usher. Shem Zelashon. It says God's going to destroy the language of Babel. What do you mean? They still speak Aramaic in Babel. What do you mean God's going to destroy? You see, there's two types of languages. There's the vernacular of the people and there's the royal language. All other countries had their own royal language, the way they talk, the protocol and the kings. However, Rome, they took it from somewhere else. That's the pshat in the Hem Lashon, that the royal protocol language was taken from somewhere else. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Now the Gemara is going to tell some stories between Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and Antoninus. They lived at the same time, and we're going to see different episodes between them. Very close. Antoninus, even though he was the Caesar, he was a close friend of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And the Gemara is going to tell different stories how Rabbi advised Antoninus and even learned with him for a certain period of time. That's what Gemara says. Gemara tells us first story. Second line. Amar le Antoninus Rabbi. Antoninus tells Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ba'ina di yimloch asviros beri techoti. I want my son Asviros to rule after me. And I also want that Tiberius will be exempt from taxes. Antoninus respected Tamid HaChamim. And therefore, since in Tiberias, that's where all the Tamid HaChamim lived, so Antoninus wanted to exempt. It was like the free zone, to make them patur from taxes. So what was his problem? So do both. Put your son as the king and free taxes in Tiberias. I can't do both. The Emaleu, if I tell the Senate, Hada Avde, Trelo Avde, they'll only grant one of my wishes. So he's asking Rabbeinu HaKadosh for advice. How can he get both of his propositions passed? Avde, or Avde, Trelo Avde, Aite Gabra, so Rabbi sent him a hint. He sends him a person, Arkebe Ahavre, that's on the shoulder of his friend. Biyahib Le Yona Le Ailla Biyade. And the top guy is holding a dove. The Amar le litata, and he told the bottom guy tells the top guy, Amar le'ela de mifrach min yede yona. The bottom guy will tell the top guy to take the dove and free it, let it go. What was the mashal? He understood. Amar shma mina haki kamal. This is what he must have meant to me. Ad ba'e mina yud asviros b'ri yimloch techoti. First, ask them for one thing. Ask them that Asviros should become the king. Once he gets the job as king, now you tell Asviros then you'll tell him to free the tax. First get him in the door. Once he gets in the door, so now you're going to tell him, you're controlling him, you'll tell him to free. So don't ask for two things. Ask for one thing. Now what's the mashal? Look at the Rashi. Lines at the bottom. Kilomar. Harkev et bincha alehen. Which means, first, put your son on top, and then you are on the bottom, but you're controlling him, because you're carrying him. And then you'll tell your son, free them, free the Hakamim from the taxes. So that's the advice that he gave them. Yavara tells another story. Amar le mitzarin le hashuve romae. It says the Hashuvim of Rome, they are mitzair me, they're giving me tzar. They want to kill him. What's the advice of Rabbeinu HaKadosh? What should I do? It says, Me'ayid le legina kol yomah. Every day, Rabbeinu HaKadosh went into the
to the garden of Antoninus.
Akale fugla memishra kame.
He took a radish out of the garden. He plucked it out.
At the hint, Amar Shmuel Minachi Kamarli. At ketol had had minayu.
Kill one of them at a time, which means you got to kill your enemies. Therefore, the rabbi, when he went in, he pulled every day one out. To hint to them, you got to pluck them out. You got to kill them.
Velo tidgare behu bekullehu.
But don't kill them all at the same time, because then they're gonna come after you.
Okay. Good. Vele male memar behedya.
Why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh have to give him a hint? Pluck the radishes. Just tell him. Kill one at a time. What are you going to give these secrets over here?
Amar. Shame'e hashuve romi umitza'arule.
He was scared that the Romans would hear him and then give him tza'ar as well.
Remale belahash.
So whisper it to him. Don't say it out loud.
Says, Mishum dichtiv ki ofa shamayim yodich et hakol.
Saying goes that the birds, they take the words and they carry the words. I mean, like they say, the walls have ears. Which means even if you say something very low, it gets out. You don't want to take a chance. Therefore, he just gave him a remez.
Comes the Gemara continues. Habileahu barta. Antoninus had a daughter. Dishema Gira.
Her name was Gira.
Ka'avda Isura.
She committed adultery. That was the issue she did. She says Zanta.
Now, Antonino sends a message to the bee.
What does he send him?
Shadale Gargira.
What is Gargira? Gargira is a type of an herb.
Again, he sends him Gargira to the bee. Shadale Kusbarta.
The bee sends him back Kusbara.
Shadale Karti.
He sends back Antoninus Karti,
Shalach le Hasa,
and he sends back Hasa. Now, obviously, they're talking over your whole conversation in herbs, so we have to know what he sent and what he answered back. So look at Rashi. Rashi has a whole story here.
Shadal the second line. Shadal the Antoninus let be Esev Shishmo Gargira.
It's not an herb. It's called Gargira.
Ruka belaas. Vevin Rabbi.
What is he selling me this herb for?
V'day simanahu d'sholach li gargira nigrar v'nimshach lev gira im anu'afim.
Which the gira is meaning ligarer, to be drawn after the ta'ava. And her name was Gira. So therefore it must be hinting to me that his daughter was nigreret after the ta'avot.
Okay.
Shadar le Rabbi Kusbarta. So he sent them back Kusbarta. What's Kusbarta? Kilomar
Shchot Habat.
Got a killer. Kusbarta. Kusbarta. Kus is the slaughter. Barta is the daughter. So he sent them back Kusbarta. Slaughter the daughter. Got a killer.
Hadar Shadar Antoninus Karti.
He sent back Karti.
Kilomar Imken Yikaret Zari.
Otherwise, my seed is going to be destroyed. It seems that he had grandchildren, or he didn't have any grandchildren, and therefore if she's going to die, so then there goes my Zera. So he says, Karti, you're going to make it Karet.
Hadar shalach li Hassa.
So he sent Hassa. Hassa's lettuce, but Hassa means Midashon Hus. Okay, have mercy on her, leave her alone. So that's the way that she understands the story. He sent message, my daughter committed Znut. He sent back, killer. He said, what do you mean, Karti? And he says, "Back, okay, I don't want to kill her, Hassa, so then have mercy on her." Tosfot doesn't accept this conversation. Look at the top Tosfot.
Perush HaKuntras, Kasheh ma'ala bedato shel Rabbi mitachila lomar sheishchatena.
Why kill her? Exactly. Why would Rabbi kill her? Kuntrashi. Why would kill her? Well, that's advice you tell her to just kill your daughter? What kind of logic is that?
Be'od kasheh shebasof chazar bo Rabbi ma'asmo.
And then he changes his mind. Okay, don't kill her, have mercy on her. Kuntrashi is a little difficult.
So he says, Lachin der ee kibrush rach.
Sabino Hananel Baruch
Shadale Gargira Kilomar Neefa Gira Hanoef Hanoefet Targum Yerushalmi Gaira Vegayarta.
If you look at the Targum on the word Noef and Noefet, it's Gaira Vegayarta.
So he sent a message Gargira, meaning Gira committed Niuf.
The Targum of Noef in the Torah is Gayarta. So he sent them a message. Geyarta pirush. Gira, my daughter, went after the ni'uv. Good, no problem. That's like Rashi also. More or less. Shadali kusbarta. Kasa al kelona vehochihenna besetir. Kos meaning lechasot. Don't make a big deal out of it.
Cover it up.
Cover it up. Rebuke her in private. Don't make a big deal out of it. Cover it up. Give her a rebuke, but in private. Antoninus lo hivin ma sheshalachlo. Antoninus didn't understand the message. Ve'ayar savur shamar shchot tabat. He thought kusbarta is kusbarta. So he sent back, what? Karti? You're telling me to kill my daughter? No, no, you misunderstood what I meant. Hasa, I mean, have mercy on her. You misunderstood my hint of kusbarta. You thought kusbarta is kusbarta, kill the daughter. I didn't mean kill the daughter. I meant kus, lechasot on the daughter. Cover it up, don't make it a big deal. So that's why he sent back to him, hasa, I meant to have mercy. That's the way. So therefore, Rabbi never changed his mind according to the Tosafot. The beef from the beginning was saying to cover it up, to keep it quiet. And just that the Antoninus misunderstood it, so therefore he had to be more explicit, and therefore he sent the Hasa. Comes the Gemara, continues. Shalach lechasa. Okay. Kol yoma, ava shadar le dahava pericha. Every day, Antoninus would send Rabbeinu HaKadosh a gold coin. Bimatrata in a sack. And then she says a leather sack, big sack, v'chite apumayu, filled with wheat. He didn't want to show that he's giving Rabbeinu HaKadosh money, so he filled the sack with wheat. Underneath there was a gold coin. Amar lehu, amtiyu chite l'rabbi. He would tell his servant, go bring wheat to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Amar le Rabbi. Rabbi says, lo tzarichna, I don't need your money. Eat li tuba, have a lot. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was wealthy. Amar lehevu leman de batrach, let it be not for you, let it be for your children. And they'll give it to their children, meaning for your descendants. V'da'ate minayu nipuk alayu. She says, hayotzim mibanecha, yotzim otzaot malchei Romi. And they will take that money and they'll spend it in Rome. They'll spend it on the Rome that'll come from me, which means give it to your descendants, that they'll spend it in the kingdom of my descendants. It's keeping the money here together between the both of them. Okay. Habeleahu nakarta. There was a certain cave. There's a famous story. There was a kartaz, a cave from the palace of Antoninus all the way to Rabbeinu HaKadosh's Bet Midrash. That he was able to sneak underneath the ground to walk from his house to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Every day he'd bring with him two servants, bodyguards, to walk him. One of them, when they got to Rabbeinu HaKadosh's house, he killed him. Then he used one to walk him back, and on the way back, when he got to his house, he killed him. Why did he kill him? He doesn't want anybody to tell that Antoninus is learning with the rabbi. Antoninus is the Roman Caesar. This will be a scandal. The Roman Caesar is learning Torah with the rabbi every day. So he took two bodyguards just in case somebody was trying to do something to him. He killed one when they got to Rabbi's house, and he killed the other one on the way back. You can ask a question, how can he kill them? I thought Antoninus is a religious guy. Even if he only fulfills the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, one of the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is Lo Tirtzah, you're not allowed to murder. So this is Tosfot's question. Look at the second Tosfot. V'im Tomar, V'alu Shfikut Damimu M'Shiva Mitzvot, V'afil Yisrael Asur. Da Ta'anya, Ovid Chavi Ro'e Be'ema Dakal Lo Ayu Ma'alim V'lo Moridi. V'yesh Tomar, Sh'aya Yare Pen Yodi'u Hadavar L'Sarim, V'ayu Gormin De'Horgo, V'amin Iba De'Horgecha, Hashkem De'Horgo. He held that they were a threat. That if he doesn't kill them, they're going to go and tell. And if they go tell what happened, the Romans are going to end up killing Antoninus. So we have a rule. Somebody's coming to kill you, you can kill them first. So he judged them as if they were Rodef. So the Rodef, that's how he's able to kill them. Another explanation of the Tosafot is, who did he take? He took the Rishaim. That was Hayam Mita anyway. He took the deniers of God, or the Muslim. The Muslim is the informers, which means these people are Shaim anyway. So they were Hayabita. So they made sure every day he took two people that had the death penalty anyway, and he killed them. That's why second Ezer Tosfot. Okay. Anyway, what does it say? Amar de, he tells Rabbeinu HaKadosh, please, Be'idna de'atena, when I come to learn with you in the house, Lo nishkach gevar kamach, I don't want anybody to be there. I want to have havruta alone. I don't want anybody there to find out and talk. I want to be alone. Mahad ashkechel Rav Hanina bar Chama d'Abba Yativ. Got there. Sure enough, Rav Hanina bar Chama is there. Amar, so Antonius got upset. La amina lach be'idna de'atena lo nishkach gevar kamach. Didn't I tell you when I come out, I want anybody to be there? Amale led din bar inash. This is over here. He's not a human being. He's a malach. This one over here, which means he's saying this man over here is not a human being. He's a tzaddik. He's like a malach. Amale. So he tells him, le male lahu avda degane ababa dekaim velete. So again. Goes into the room. He sees the rabbi sitting there. He says, "Then I tell you, no rabbi's there. What is he doing here?" He says, "He's not a rabbi. Let them bari inna. She's a malach. He's a malach. Then let him go out. My servant is sleeping. Let him go. Bring him in. Tell him I want him." He wasn't sleeping. He was dead. Now he's telling the rabbi to see if he's a malach. Go bring me my slave. He's outside. What did he do before? He used to go. He used to kill one of them. So he says, "Go. My servant is sleeping. Go bring him in." Itibrizil. Now Rav Hanina bar Chama ashkechei d'ava katil. He went out, so he was dead. Amar hechi avidis. What am I going to do? I ezil ve'emale de katil. If I'm going to go back and tell him he's dead, en meshivin al kalkala. You're not supposed to do that. Which means if you're a slave, if you're a shaliach, you have to fulfill your shlichut. You can't come back and say, "I didn't fulfill my I didn't execute my responsibilities. I can't tell them I didn't do it." You can't come back and say, "I didn't do it." Ashbeke be'ezil. Maybe I should just leave. Don't do anything. Don't go back and tell him you didn't do it because it's not nice. Just leave. Kamizalzelina memelchuta. That's that kavod to the king. The king tells you to do something, and you don't report back to him. So he was stuck. So what did he do? Ba'ar hame ale. He prayed, he made tahiyat ha-metim. The guy came back to life, he went to back to Antoninus. Veshadre, so Amar, so Antoninus was impressed. He told Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Yada'na, I know for a fact, Zute de'it bechu mehayim metim. I see even the smallest ones amongst you is able to make tahiyat ha-metim. But please, I don't want anybody to be there, but anyway, you proved your point. He's a malach. Even the smallest one is able to do. But I'd rather that nobody is there when I come. The Tosafot says something very interesting. Look at the Tosafot Amar Le. Look in the middle there. Amrinam bin Midrash. It's a fantastic story that the Gemara doesn't say, but Tosafot quotes from the Midrash. Chalav metameh, chalav metahir. Sometimes the milk that a baby nurses, the milk sometimes can make him tahor, and sometimes the milk can make him tameh. Kishenolad Rabbi, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was born, gazru shelo lamud, they made a gezera no brit milah. Be'aviv ve'imo maluhu, but doesn't matter. Who is the father of Rabbi? Rabban Gamliel. He went and he mauled his son against the Gezerah. Shalach Kesar ve'ebi'o l'Rabbi ve'emo l'fanav. So what happened? The Caesar, somebody went to the Caesar and told Rabban Gamliel that he circumcised his son. So they summoned the parents of Rabbi with the baby to the palace, so the king is going to inspect. Ve'chadifato emo be'antoninus. What happened? The queen felt bad. Antoninus' wife, not Antoninus' wife, the king, the Caesar of Rome, he also just had a baby. Which baby did he have? Antoninus. So now you have, Rabbi was just a baby, he was circumcised, and they're bringing him to the palace, because he wasn't supposed to circumcise his son, Rabban Gamliel. And who's there now? Baby Antoninus. So the mother of the Antoninus, and scared for Rabban Gamliel, because he's going to get killed if the king sees that his son is circumcised. So what does he do? He switches babies. He says, go bring to the king. And he doesn't know what his son looks like. Go bring him this baby over here. We just had a baby also. In the interim, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh wife, sorry, Rabban Gamliel's wife, took that baby Antoninus into the king. He started to cry, so she nursed him. So from that milk that Antoninus nursed from the mother of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Halav Metahir, the milk brought so much Kiddusha into him, that's why he loved the Jews. That's why he ended up becoming so close to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The milk that he drank from the Tzedeket. So now what happened, the end of the story is, so the king says, I heard you circumcised your son. Here's my son, look. They opened the diaper, nothing, not circumcised. The king went back to that guy. The guy says, I'm telling you, I saw, I was there at the Brit Milah. So the Tosfot ends up and says, that what? Ba'amar oto higmon, ani ra'iti shemalu etze. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh lahem nisim b'chol ha'et. What should I tell you? God does miracles for these Jews. I saw my own eyes. Now that the kid doesn't have a circumcision, I can't figure it out. When the king saw that there was a miracle, he nullified the gezerah. He got rid of the gezerah. Comes the Gemara, continues. Kol yoma, every day, havam mishamesh l'rabbi ma'achile mashkile. Every day, Antoninus would give food to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, would give him to drink. He would serve him like a shamosh. Ki ava ba'ay rabbi l'mesak l'puria, amazing. When Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted to go to sleep on his bed, ava gachin kame puria, Antoninus would bend over, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh would step on his back to get up on the bed. Could you imagine the seas, how much kavod he had? Amar l'sak l'avay l'puriach. Step on my back, so you go up to your bed. Amar lav orach ara lezilzule b'malchuta kolahai. No, that's too much. That's not derech eretz for me to mistreat the kingdom so much to step on his back. Amar said, "I wish mi yisimeni masa tahtecha le'olam haba. I wish I could be a pillow underneath you in olam haba. I wish I could be underneath you." So he asked him, "Am I coming to Olam Abba?" Amale in, you are. Amale v'akitiv lo yeye sarid lebet Esav, that nobody from the family of Esav is going to remain. Meaning they're all going to gain hamanaturinus from Esav. Says be'ose ma'ase Esav. Only those that act like Esav. But you don't act like Esav. You're a tzaddik. Don't worry. You're good. There's not going to be any remnants of the family of Esav. Yachol lakol, meaning everybody. But those that are good goyim, they have olam haba. So he tells him. But we have another pasuk. Shama Edom malcheha v'chol nesieha. Over there in Geinam is going to be all the kings of Edom, and all their presidents. Amale malcheha velo kol melacheha. It's kings, but not all its kings. There's an exception. Kol nesieha, all its presidents, velo kol sareha, but not all its princes. Which means there's going to be exceptions. So you're from the exceptions. Tanya name achimah v'braiter supporters malcheha velo kol melacheha. Most of its kings, but not all the kings. Kol nesieha, all its presidents. Velo kol sareha. So now the Gemara says, Malchea velo kol malchea. Who's the king that's going to go to Olam Abba from the family of Esav? Prat leAntoninus ben Asviros. Now, before we go further, there's a very, very fascinating Tosafot. This Tosafot gives us a very important root of a word that we are familiar with. Where did we get this language? That when a lady does not give birth naturally, so we call it cesarean. Nituach kesari, a cesarean. Where did they get this terminology? Which is obviously cesarean comes from Caesar. But from what? What does Caesar have to do with a baby that comes out from the stomach. So look at the Tosafot. Tosafot says, "Shenishbi'u Romayim." The Romans made a shivua shelo lehamlich alehim od melech. They said they're not going to appoint upon themselves another king. Shvil Ehad, what happened? There was a story. Ehad shelakach isha ahat bechoska. A guy took a lady against her will. Ela shayu memanim yashish. Instead, they would appoint yashish, like an old man, and they would give him 300 advisors, which was the Senate. There was no more king. Ela, the way they would do it is they would pick one of the yashishim, the old strong ones, and put 300 people around him, which was the Roman Senate. Ve'nosh toshmod yuasim. Usof kama shanim malach alem ehad bechoska. That's the way the Romans was for many years. It was just an old man with a senate. But then after many years, I came against the will of the people and he ruled on them by force. What happened? Shemeta imo beledata. When the kid was born, this kid that eventually took over Rome, his mother died. Why did his mother die? V'nipka'at bitna. Because he pushed out from the stomach. He didn't come out naturally, this guy. He knocked himself out from the stomach. Umsa'u hai, and he was living. Umarak alehim v'nikra kesar. So they called him the Caesar. Why? Because kesar in Roman means to cut, and in Hebrew also. So therefore, the reason why we call the Caesars Caesars reverse. The reason, really, the first terminology was because the baby broke his way out of the womb. That's called kesar. Because he broke his way out. Because the first Roman Caesar did that, we call him Caesar. So it's not that we're naming the C-section after the Caesar. We're naming the Caesar after the C-section. Because since he busted his way out, and then he ended up becoming the king, so he was Mekaser. He was he cut open. So the one that busted himself out, we called him the Kesar. It's the reverse. He was born from a Caesarean birth. So they called him Caesar. That's where we get it from. Anyway, we continue. So Caesar, Caesar in the Roman means to break out of the cup. Gemara tells one more story. There was one prince of the Romans that goes to Olam Abba. Who's this prince? That Lekitia Bar Shalom. Elo called Kitia Bar Shalom. Who's Kitia Bar Shalom? The goy. Ya Bar Shalom, my Abi. What's the story? Dahu Kisra. There was a certain Caesar. Dahav Esane Lehuda. He hated the Jews. Amar Lehu Lehashive de Malchuta. So the Caesar told all the Hashuvim, all the important ones, Mi Sha'alalu Nima Beraglo. If a person, let's say, has a scab on his leg, or a blemish on his leg, yikte'ena v'yichye. It's contagious. Should he cut it? At least the rest of the body will live. Or yenihena v'yitzda'ir. Or should he leave it and then he'll be in pain his whole body? Which is, a person has a blemish on his leg, what should he do? Isn't he better off to cut it off, get rid of it, at least save the body? Or no, leave it and the whole body's going to suffer. What he was trying to say is, this Jewish people is a cancer in the kingdom. Aren't we better off cutting them out instead of leaving them there and they're going to give us trouble? Amru lo, anyway, the advisor told them, yikte'enna v'yichye, cut them out. Which means they advised them, cut out the Jews, kill the Jews. Amar lehu kiti'a bar shalom. Ya bar shalom was there, he was one of the advisors. He was going. Hada dela yachalt lehu. Nikudu says, first of all, you can't destroy all the Jews. Impossible. The Jews are an eternal nation, and if you think you're going to destroy all the Jewish people, you can't. Why? Nikhtib, ki ke'arba ruchot ha-shamayim perasti etchem. God says, I scattered you out like the four corners of the earth. Like the four corners of the earth. Ma'ika amar, what does it mean? Ilima debretinhon bedal druchon. If it means to say that God scattered us out in the four corners of the earth, it shouldn't say like the four corners, it should say le arba, to the four corners. Why does it say ke arba? Kachi efshar le'olam b'lo Yisrael. God says, you Jewish people are like the winds of the world. Just like the world cannot exist without wind, you need wind, so too the world cannot exist without Jews. So Ketiah bar Shalom tells the Caesar, listen, you think you're going to destroy all the Jewish people? Impossible. The Pasuk clearly says, the world, just like it cannot exist without Uchot, the world cannot exist without Jews. Ve'od, and not only that, Kadu lach malchuta Ketiah. The people are going to call your kingdom split. Even they're going to call it a broken king because they're living amongst us. You can't just kill a whole, leave a bald spot in your kingdom. It's going to not be good for you. They're living amongst us. You're just going to desolate the whole area. They're going to call your kingdom a broken kingdom. Amarle, so the Caesar tells this guy, Ketiah bar Shalom, he tells him, Memar shepid ka'amar. You know something? You said good. I'm going to listen to you. Miu. Kol de zaken le malka shadune le kamonya halila. He says, you said good, but we have a rule. Whoever wins a debate against the king, we have to kill that guy. And we have to throw him into a house filled with dirt and bury him in kamonya as a house full of dirt. Meaning we have to kill him. Which means, you are right in your logic. But bottom line, you outsmarted me. And whoever outsmarts the king, you gotta kill him. So now they're gonna go kill him. They're gonna throw him into this house of dirt where he's gonna die. It says, Kadavad Nakdin Leva Azlin. Now they're bringing him to kill him. Amra Leahu Matronita. There was a lady there. She says, Vai Lele Ilfa de Azla Belo Miksa. She says, woe to the boat that's going without getting paid. The boat is going without taking any merchandise. What did she mean to say? Gave your life up for the Jewish people. But it's a shame you're not going to be with them. You're not going to get reward because you're not circumcised. And they only let circumcised people into Olam HaBa. So the lady was giving him good advice. He says, you poor thing, you gave your life up for them, but you're not going to be with them. Boat to the boat, that's not going to get its pay. It's not going to get its value because you didn't circumcise. Nafal al reshet de olete kat'ay. Before he got killed, he fell on his brit milah, and he cut it. And he gave himself a circumcision. So he got it. Tosfot points out over here that in the bottom Tosfot, you have to say that Antoninus also had a brit milah. So otherwise, how did Antoninus go to Olam Abba? So Tosfot says in the bottom that, interesting story. Amar le Antoninus to Rabbi. Antoninus told Rabbi, I'm reading from the Tosafot. I heard about this fish in the Shaman called the Leviathan fish. Are you going to feed me from the Leviathan fish? I want to eat from this fish. Why not? Of course. Min imar pisha atam machileni umin Leviathan at machileni. Can I eat from the Korban Pesach? No, you can't eat from Korban Pesach because you're not circumcised. So Antonio said, I understand. I can't eat from the Korban Pesach, but I can eat from the Leviathan? Which I tell you about. By Korban Pesach, it says if you're not circumcised, you can't eat. It didn't make sense that to do this. If I can't eat from the Korban Pesach, I'm going to eat from the Leviathan? He went and he circumcised himself. That's what it means. Antoninus converted, meaning he circumcised himself. Just like this Roman over here, when he heard from the lady, well, you're going to go to Lama Ba, you're not going to get in, you're not circumcised. The Gemara tells the end of the story. Amar, right before he died, he gave a will. Yehavit mechsai halfit ve'avrit. Amar. Yehavit mechsai halfit. He says, now I have my reward. Which means, I did the circumcision, now I got the...
paid the tax.
I paid the tax. Now, I paid the tax, they're going to get me to Olam Abba. Very good, I paid the tax. Says Va'avarit, and I crossed. That's it. I'm going in. Kikash Shadule. Before they killed him, they throw him into the house with the dirt. Amarkon lechasai l'Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. All my assets should go to Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Now, how would you split that up? Seemingly, Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav, everybody gets equal share. Rabbi Akiva wrote a pasuk to say he gets 50%. Everybody else gets 50%. Because he said, Rabbi Akiva, the Chaverav. He put the Rabbi Akiva separate. So he says, Yatzar Rabbi Akiva v'darash, v'haya l'aharon ul'banav. We have a pasuk. He gives the Qurban to Aharon and Banav. What does the Gemara say? Mechsa l'aharon u'mechsa l'banav. Since the pasuk says Aharon separately, he gets 50%, and then you split the other 50% amongst everybody else. So same thing over here. I get 50% and all my friends get the other 50. Yatzar bat kol v'amra. A heavenly voice came out and said, Ketia bar shalom mezuman nahaya olam abba. This ketia bar shalom has olam abba. Bacha Rabbi. At that point, Rabbeinu HaKadosh started crying. Ve'amar yesh kone olamo b'sha'a achat ve'yesh kone olamo b'kama shanim. Which means there are some that takes them many years to get to olam abba. And here, ketia bar shalom kone olamo. In one shot, in one second, he did a good deed. And look at this, he has this Olam Abba. Let's just do the bottom Rashi. Where do we see that Aharon got 50% and his children got 50%? Rashi says, Belechem Apanim Kitib. It's by the 12 showbread. Bekohen notel mechsa. Beseder yomav venotel chala achat meshteh chalot shiratzer v'abba o hamesh memahasir lechem apanim v'atam befresh de palgahi v'achi nami yishvah ato nekikulam shishkin shemo levad. Belechem Apanim, Aharon will get 6. And then the other 6 will go to his children. So similarly over here, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Rabbi took care, and the other ones took care, and the Ben HaKadosh was crying. Look, why was he crying? And he was crying because he was saying, look how valuable the second of life is. That for the second of life, you're able to be Kone Chaya Olam Abba. Therefore, he was crying, meaning to say, and look at all the people that waste their time. Look at all the people, if they would only know the value of doing the right thing, you can gain eternity just for a few seconds. And the people over here live so long, and they're not able to reach such madrigal. Okay, we'll stop over here. Amen.